Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to
building a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome to another round of the best of SDHAM from the SDH Network and Soccer Down Here. John Nelson here with you, and it's our weekly tour of the sport of soccer and the guests that drop by the morning show on the SDH Network. And you can find that starting 9:05 Eastern Time. Usually runs about 2 hours or so. Traditionally, it runs a little more than 2 hours because news will always break and things will always get on the table that we have to address. But over the span of a week, starting at 9:05 Eastern on the SDH YouTube channel, on X and on Twitch, we have the opportunity to bring in a lot of experts, bring in a lot of different opinions, and find out what's going on in our listeners' and viewers' minds and the minds of our experts that come in every single week. And they let everybody know what's going on in the context of events that have happened recently in their own footprints. And this week, once again, is no different. Since Atlanta United had the earliest of early matches when it comes to this particular match week in Major League Soccer, a couple of folks dropped by and gave us their thoughts about what has been going on in a very, very tough season for Atlanta United. First guest we had was part of the play-by-play team that called the match on Apple TV. Went down to Florida, caught up with our friend Neil Sika to find out what his thoughts were about Atlanta United, the matchup against NYC, and what he thinks as everybody's heading toward the second half of the season. So hour number two, we bring in half of the crime-fighting duo of Sika and Sam. Neil, welcome, my friend.
John, I'm hoping you did sing.
No, you don't want that, brother. You do not want that. You do not want that at all, sir. You don't want that. First off, welcome to the morning show. did Kirk tell you what you were getting into when you signed up for this assignment, sir?
A little bit of a briefing, but ultimately I felt I was going to be able to handle whatever you put on my plate. So it's great to be with you.
I figure that we talk about what happened last night. Yeah. And so we'll start there, considering that you were there for Apple TV. We have yet to play the audio. We've kind of walked through a disenchanted first hour of the show with folks in the Twitch pitch. We did have Michael Parkhurst batting second on the show, and he batted before you here on the morning. He was getting ready for youth baseball.
Is he back in Atlanta, or is he living in Columbus these days?
Oh, he's in Columbus.
That's right. Yeah, and it's funny because I really haven't seen him. I'm living in Florida now, but I, and all the time we spent in Columbus, I rarely have crossed paths with him since his playing career has been over. But great guy, Parkey.
Yeah, and so Parkey and Greg Garza come on and discuss their mentoring and beyond goals when they're not traveling the world and trying to conquer it. So we got it was a pretty down and dirty half hour with Parkey that just wrapped up before you came on. But I wanted to get your initial thoughts of the match on the whole involving Atlanta United and NYC. And I do want to ask what it's like to call a match where you're seeing something at the 106x68 or the U12 futsal pitch that is Yankee Stadium. But your initial thoughts now that the match is over and you've had a chance to breathe.
Yeah, boy, that escalated quickly. The second half, and just everything was so pedestrian to start that second half. And then Bakar had that chance and Gazan makes the save. And then the next thing you know, they turn off and there's three goals in 4 minutes. But it had one of those vibes to it in the first half, John, where, you know, things didn't go in Atlanta United's favor. The offside call, the non-penalty call after going to a long review.
Yeah.
And then what's been the crutch of this team the whole season, making a mistake in a critical moment in the back right before halftime. But even then, you're only down a goal. So for that thing to get to 2-3-4, well, I don't know. Like, it's just one of those things where they haven't won the regular season in New York. I know they've got a playoff victory there, but the demons, I guess, continue to haunt. And it just goes from, man, we started to look at this thing with two wins at home, however they may have come. And now we're almost kind of right back to where we were feeling in the 8-game unbeaten run. Or at least that's how I would feel if I was an Atlanta United fan.
Yeah, it is right now. You're 8 points out of the wild card play-in round, and we were going through the math this morning. You've got a handful of matches. You got half a dozen matches before the secondary transfer window opens, and this is going to be the opportunity for Ronnie Dyla between now and then to sit there and say, "Okay, who wants to be a part of this? You know, who's in? Who's with me? Who's against me? Who's in?" And you got 6 matches to look at it. And you're going to have to start with a couple of them on the road at your old haunt in Columbus and possibly at the Erector Set taking on Messi and friends, unless they get out of the group stage in the Club World Cup. So, I mean, it doesn't get any easier out of the blocks later on in the month.
Yeah, and you're hoping maybe you galvanize a little bit playing all these games on the road. But then again, when the pressure is on and you haven't won a road game like they have in 8 games.
Yep.
I don't know. Everything from challenging the guy's toughness going into the Cincinnati game to changing up the formation and putting players according to where they like to play. You know, but I just – the identity of the team, again, with all that was expected of this group, can you really say you know what it is at this point, 18 games into the season?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not – these are the conversations I think – Atlanta United fans, one, thought they were going to be having, and two, with the roster composition that was already set up to think, are we going to even challenge for a wild card spot at this point? Because it should have been top four, the way that the line of thinking goes going into the season. But you can do that ad hoc and ad not. The reality is they are where they are for a reason, and you know, it's on Riley Dyla to figure it out. There's plenty of personnel there. I think Maranchuk is looking a lot more comfortable, but how do you play him and Al Marone together with a guy that likes to come inside and run in the middle? There are all these quandaries, right? You know, they're still heavily reliant on crosses with Brooks Lennon. But like I thought last night when they went direct and they were going at Saba and then they had Tiare and some speed and running in behind, I thought that was pretty effective. I think that they can be effective that way in running downhill. That's the team that I think everyone expected them to be. So, you know, but it's not enough in the critical moments of games right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can sit there and hopefully run 32 wham and sit there and go between the tackles and, and crush it and run downhill. You get to the second level and then you're tiring that deep. You're tiring those linebackers and those safeties by the time you get into the third quarter. If you just keep running 32 and 34 wham at them the whole time, you know.
For sure. And that was the game last night. That was a very attack-minded lineup to start for New York City. And I think they were vulnerable at times. Now, we debated this on the broadcast. Like, Romero was a little late. I'm surprised if J.C. Rivero, the VAR, is calling for that to go to review.
Yeah.
More often than not, he thinks it's a mistake. But Sergei Boyko. Yeah. By golly, he's damn defiant if he isn't anything else with all the yellow cards you see in games that he refs, and you know, stood by his conviction that it wasn't a penalty. But that was a huge moment in swing. And all of a sudden, if that's a penalty and Atlanta United scores, Romero's starting his first game for NYC. So we've seen plenty of goalkeepers this year who are right in the bright lights and they make a mistake, and that kind of changes the complexion of the game. So.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's easy to play Monday morning quarterback now and say that, but
yeah, Friday morning quarterback is what we're here
Friday
for.
Friday morning quarterback, yeah.
All right, so let's go back to the 14th minute, and I want to get your perspective on what went down. And I know that, and on Mondays we have one of our refs come in and we do a reffing down here kind of a thing, but I want to do reffing down here with you. Mm-hmm. 14th minute, and it looks like Tomas Romero makes contact with Jamal on the left leg up high, gets to the leg first. He actually makes contact with Jamal's, I think, left foot first. Then he makes contact with Jamal's leg. Then he makes contact with the ball. At least that's what I'm looking at through my Zapruder lens. Then it goes to it. You're waiting, and then it goes to VAR, and then you get to you and Lloyd get to have a sandwich and maybe a Cafe Cubano by the time the decision comes up. I mean, what is it like for the two of you trying to sit there and sort through all of the noise and the call as it happened with the two of you on Apple TV?
Yeah, in those situations, as an announcer, I think you know the letter of the law. You've gone through the rehearsal and the routine of clear and obvious. I think fans know that by now, but ultimately, and this goes across all sports, if you're searching for something and there's not that conviction, I think the tough part in that angle that we had, a lot of it is Tiare's back. So what really comes, you're piecing it together. Did he make contact with the thigh first or the ball, but then the legs get him? And, you know, I thought there was ultimately enough contact. Long ago, you learn, even though someone gets a ball, you get to the ball, it doesn't mean that they don't commit a foul in the process of making contact, right?
Yeah.
So there's some pretty glaring pieces of evidence there that make a strong case for a penalty in that situation. The thing that annoys me is if we know that and we're at the vestibule of what we have in our replay, why is it taking almost 2.5 minutes to make that call? MLS is usually pretty good in terms of how quickly the conviction is. I do a lot of hockey. So there's all these reviews you go into. And I'm for, like, you get 60 to 90 seconds tops. And if it's there, I mean, we want to get on with our lives here. So one way or the other, it is or it isn't. Make the call. Let's move on from the game. Let's move on with it. But the longer it went gave you the inclination that maybe that it was going to be changed around, thinking that they're searching for granules and maybe they're coming up with something here that would have turned it over. So
and that's the thing for me. It's like you mentioned the shot clock, and I'd love to have a VAR clock. I really would. It's like if you get past 90 seconds to 2 minutes, I think you're looking for something, and not in the clear and obvious category. I think you actually are looking for a reason not to call something that would be clear and obvious one way or the other. And that, I think, bugs fans and announcers more than anything. It's like, look, if it ain't clear and obvious, that, you know, then leave it as it was, leave it as the call or whatever, and then let's get on with our lives, you know. And I think that bugs a lot of folks when it comes to Major League Soccer these days.
Yeah, and, you know, the other argument there is if he calls a penalty on the field in real time, I don't think that's getting overturned, but maybe Sergei Boyko didn't necessarily agree with J.C. Rivero that angle was conclusive enough. At least that's what you can take now from deductive reasoning. But it's a huge moment early on in that game. And for Atlanta United, who's looking for any sort of positive when playing away. I mean, that was the start was right there for them to have, should that call have gone in their favor.
Yeah, and then what was the news that you got on the second goal that didn't happen off of – did Jamal touch it? Was that what the interpretation was?
Yeah. If it was a slight flick or graze, you know, maybe he's leaning a little bit to be in that offside position. Again, that Yankee Stadium camera angle, it's not completely in line, right? You're watching it. You're on an angle. It's almost like you're behind first base.
Yeah.
At Yankee Stadium. So,
yes, left their cameras. It's my
a lot of the 18 cams leave some things to be desired sometimes, but that's okay. You know, you just kind of go with what you feel and what you say. I think he was leaning just a bit, but again, there was the irony of it all. Atlanta United has been so poor on set pieces and conceding goals, and yet that was their avenue to again. Looks like they take the lead and all for naught. Poor Derek Williams, because he makes a good play and then he gets hurt later in the game. And he's kind of been the center of attention on a lot of those set pieces recently where he's gotten himself into some good scoring chances. But
yes, Neil Sika dropping by the for Friday morning quarterback after calling the match last night. Yeah. Your PI duo of Sika and Sam in the 1978 Ford Torino with the double siren on top on Apple TV.
Well, we may be going back in time a little bit. I don't know if people caught it when Lloyd was revealing that he tended to like a slice of apple pie and maybe a glass of wine before games, you know, back in the 70s where you could get away with that.
I mean,
in those moments when the game gets away, you got to turn into some entertainment, I guess, even if it's at the bequest of the opposition losing.
If the game turns into a kickabout, you got to talk about some other things. Question from the floor from one of our A-listers, Abby. She goes, how do you feel about the lack of speed of calls by Sergi Boyko, where there were times where either Sergi was in a dilly-dally zone or his whistle was not all that authoritative, it seemed like. It would be more like a as opposed to a, you know, when it came to the lack of speed, it almost seemed like Sergi Boyko might have been at 18 RPM instead of 45 or 78.
Yeah. Could have been. He let him play at times last night, that's for sure. But I think he's one of the more disciplinary refs that we have right now in the league. So whether it's one game to the next, he's lacking maybe conviction in the whistle. You know, it's like an umpire each and every game that has a different strike zone call, right? Where is that a strike or is it something that looks authoritatively, the pump. So.
Are you Eric Gregg or are you Country Joe West is basically what you're
Country Joe, exactly. That's a great, great reference. But, you know, ultimately all players want is things to be consistent, but from the lack of, like a mellow whistle, I guess that stuff I don't always notice on first take, but it's a good catch by Abby to bring it up. I'd more so bring it back to, When the moment is on the referee in a situation like the VAR, you know, are you sticking with your convictions and are you doing it in a succinct manner? And we're all about the quickness of that decision where it should be 60 to 90 seconds. I'm for like voting that in across all sports with video review.
Absolutely. We need time limits on VAR. Neil Sika dropping by with us here. Making his debut on Friday morning quarterback here on the morning show on SDHAM. When it comes to storylines heading into the second half of the season, what sticks in your mind? What are you looking forward to the most here in the second half of the season when it comes to Major League Soccer? What's on your whiteboard of things that you're looking forward to off camera there?
Well, outside of this colossal June of all the other competitions and everyone's legs staying in place for the stretch run all these games. I just find it fascinating. Even the top tier teams in the East have leaked a little bit of oil coming to the midpoint. You've seen Miami or Cincinnati or Columbus, and they've kind of had this pedestrian play. And then in the West, everything outside of what Vancouver's done in the league kind of literally blows up, no pun intended, with the Champions Cup final. But I just think there's that it's still all to play for so many teams. I think that's why you'd be frustrated if you're Atlanta United or anyone in the bottom tier of the East or the West right now. All it takes is 3 or 4 wins in a row where you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And you know this league. Everyone who's followed along has watched this. Then you put yourself into a position. Yeah, we can make the playoffs. I did a radio show in St. Louis. St. Louis makes the coaching change. They feel a little bit better, right, about how they played the last couple of games, just to give you an example. And yet, here's the LA Galaxy. No one's thinking it'd be preposterous to think that they could go back and make the playoffs, right? I mean, it's too far gone. You'd think that.
Yeah.
But if I'm Greg Vanney and I'm also looking at David Critchley and I'm saying, everyone from 7 down in the West after Seattle, like I think Seattle will make the playoffs, Portland, everyone from 7 down in the West, no one is knocking my socks off to the point. Like, they all have flaws.
Yeah.
So if we get on a little bit of a heater here, there's no reason to think that we're not in the conversation after League's Cup. Maybe that's a little too far-fetched for LA at this point. Same thing could go in the East, and that's why, you know, you're still 8 points out, Atlanta, but you've played one more game. Chicago looks the part, like they're maybe going to get it over the finish line and get back to the postseason right now.
United every week, then yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, but Greg Berhalter's brought an identity to that group that they've been missing for probably 5-6 years. And he did it in Columbus. You know, whatever you want to think about with the national team results, he still had an identity with the United States. And that he's done a great job building the culture. So I think, you know, they're in a position. Charlotte's wobbly, but I still think they're a playoff team. Everyone has their flaws, and that's where Atlanta United, if they ever were to get around figuring it out. Because keep in mind, remember, you had the 9-game winless run last year before the stretch run, right? And figuring it out, and it wasn't until decision day that he got into the postseason. This is the funny thing about it. We come on all these shows. We do it from week 1 to week 34, and it usually comes down to weeks 32, 33, 34 in the end. Right? Yeah, I mean, if you're hanging around – you always have belief in a shot. I just don't know right now where that injection of confidence is going to come. That first, they would have started by winning a game on the road. I think that's a must now over this six game road trip.
No doubt, and that's that you're looking at this kind of stuff. So let's see. So as you look at you mentioned folks not impressing you. So let's go to the seventh in the West with Austin at 23, San Jose that. Scores as much as they give up, which is kind of what we anticipate.
Yeah, they're entertaining as hell, you know, but will they defend when it matters most to at least put them in a position where they can be considered a playoff team?
Yeah, you could say that about Messi and friends. And sure. One thing that keeps them from possibly winning titles is the fact that sometimes you mention the oil coming out from the bottom. Sometimes the hood comes up, the transmission drops, and you know they're off to the side, and they're hoping for a red flag. You know, I mean, it's that's what you're staring at with that back line at times for Messi and friends. Colorado, you're kind of like eh, and Zach Steffen's out for another month or another 5 weeks or so plus recovery time.
Yeah,
I mean, Houston's kind of like eh. Dallas is eh. Kerry Z kind of got the new coach bump at Sporting, but they've kind of leveled off. RSL, they're kind of like eh, all caps.
RSL, I've had a lot of RSL games recently. I mean, you know, if they sell Diego Luna, which is looking likely, probably after the Gold Cup, he's their leader at 21. He's the heart and soul, and then all of a sudden, you've already got way too many young guys. And where to turn if they're already 5 games under the 5. I think Houston, though, is the interesting team because if they get some of their guys back healthy, which they are with Anelli and Ben Olsen has the structure, and then you go down there and you play in the heat in the summertime, they've looked the part at times, and I think they've got enough talent and players that they could make a second-half push in the West. That would be the team that I'd be looking at right now out of that group.
Okay. One random question, since you're in Florida now, and
oh, yeah.
Yeah, since you're in Florida now, Edmonton came up. They had a big comeback last night to tie.
I watched the end of it after our game. Yeah,
and so Stanley Cup Finals now, instead of it being 3-1 in Florida in the driver's seat, it's 2-2 heading back to Alberta, where I was stunned with what happened with the comeback last night. But that's why you've got guys like Draisaitl and McDavid and Corey Perry, who's like 72 years old, who's doing really well. You look at the Stanley Cup.
Hockey, shouldn't we be talking about the new arena or they've gone the docket in
Well, right. It got approved. And yes. So they're looking at the gathering at South Forsyth. the way that it has always been presented is the guy wants the franchise and then he'll build the arena. It's like, you promise me that I'll get my expansion team and then we'll build it. And I'm like, doesn't it the other way around? It's like you build the arena and then you get the franchise. I'm just saying. I mean,
walking on a thin line a little bit after the previous incarnations. And I know,
don't encourage. Don't get me started about Atlanta Spirit, man, because that's another show entirely.
No. Right. And look, the spot of where this arena goes compared to like past ventures in the sport situation. And look at how hockey in the Southeast has gone. Everyone's pointed the finger at Gary Bettman, but what Florida and Tampa have done, and the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, they're putting together winning products.
Smashville when they get all squared away too. So all right, so it's now best of three Stanley Cup Final. What do you think is going to happen?
I think based off of how that game started and where the Oilers have been, and like they were in the first round against the Kings. Down 3-0 or 2-1 in a game that they were trailing the series 2-1. I think they're going to have the return in their favor in this series. Florida had it in the crosshairs last night. I think Edmonton wins the cup, and I think they'll clinch it in Florida. I think they'll win the next two.
Wow, man, that's nuts!
An incredible series.
Yeah, I've been loving it.
I'm not going to argue if it goes seven games, but I think they'll win in Edmonton, and I think they'll find a way to do something dramatic here in Sunrise for the last game six.
So are Sika and Sam calling something this weekend? Do you guys have something on Saturday?
Yes, we have St. Louis and L.A.
Ooh.
And then I go, Lloyd gets a little bit of a respite. I go right into some Gold Cup and, just hammer away the summer soccer here in Florida. But it's been a blast, and we've had doubleheader weekends and so it's been more robust than ever before with the schedule that I've had. But getting to see all the league and having done 30 games by now at the midpoint of the season is
it's
quite a high volume, but cranking it out.
Well, you know now that you have the garage door opener and you know now where the key is under the mat, you know that you can come in and crash in the hour of chaos on Fridays at any time now.
For sure. My brother lives in Atlanta. So if I'm ever in the area where it happens to be, I can just even make a live appearance. That would be.
Yeah. And the boss and the rowdy man will sit there and go, who's knocking on the door of the studio at like 9:10 or whatever. So no, we'll make room. We'll make room here in Decatur. Absolutely. So no, this is, The boss was like, so what are you going to do with your man cave? And so she has reinforced the shower the shower curtains and the shower rods and all the stuff. And yeah, so this is Office HD, and you now have the open garage door to where you can come in and raid the fridge anytime.
Well, this is that's spectacular. Don't judge my rental in the background. I'm on the other side of the state, live on the other side, so we're floating around and making it. Every week's like a mini vacation living down here. So.
No, it's all good. So anytime you wish to come in on a literally, if you're bored, like 10:30 whatever, between 10:30 and 11, when we're talking about all the other matchups, you want to come in, you want to give a 2-minute update, or you want to hang for the half hour, it doesn't matter. That's the keys to the kingdom that you got in the email from the league, and so come back by anytime. We'll talk anything from hockey to Gold Cup to MLS, whatever's on your mind, and take the show off the rails. I know that shocked you.
That is some Southern hospitality there, John. I'm always inclined to maybe stop by for a chat. So thanks for having me on.
Anytime, my friend. Just be safe. Save the pipes. And we'll be watching all caps St. Louis City SC and LAG this weekend. Be safe, my friend. Thanks for dropping by, and go back and go get some lunch or something.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
As always, great to catch up with Neil and find out what's going on in his mind as he and Lloyd Sam get to traverse everything going on in Major League Soccer. And they got the early game on Saturday, as a matter of fact. So they got two matches to call in this particular match week for MLS. And you can catch up with Neil at Neil Sika, N-E-I-L-S-I-K-A, on Twitter, on X, the 280-character app, whatever you call it these days, and on Apple TV with his play-by-play partner and color partner, Lloyd Sam. So it's always great to catch up with Neil. Second person that we catch up with him in an alternating fashion. Atlanta United legend Michael Parkhurst. He and Greg Garza, for those of you that may not know, have created Beyond Goals Mentoring. And it is an opportunity for them to give back and be a part of Soccer for Good, where they have literally caught up with over 1,000 mentees, various levels of competition, various age level, male, female, what have you, that are looking to improve mentally, physically, emotionally with their athletics when it comes to the sport of soccer. And so after the matchup on Thursday night for Atlanta United, traditionally Friday mornings at 9:30 on the SDH Network and SDH AM, we catch up with either Greg or Michael. This one was Michael's turn, and we start off, obviously, catching up about what happened with Atlanta United and what Michael Parkhurst's thoughts are on a very long season for a team that means a lot to it. Give this guy a lot of credit for hopping in on a Friday, especially with what happened on a Thursday. Michael Parker is joining. Where are you, dude?
Good morning.
In some circles, yes.
Roadshow today.
Ah, roadshow. Where's the roadshow?
I am at a youth baseball tournament because why wouldn't it start on a Thursday morning and continue on to a Friday morning and not to the weekend?
Okay. So then I promise not to keep you for the full 30 unless you really want to not be looking at youth baseball.
Yeah, thankfully the game doesn't start till 10. So
okay. Okay. So did you, sir... catch any of the match last night, or were you youth baseballing and had to kind of pay attention through social media?
No, I watched it.
Okay. Okay, comma. What did you think, question mark?
Yeah. Oof, man, it's tough going right now. It's tough to watch, honestly. By a bad, obviously, 8 minutes. I mean, the first half, it's very difficult to play at New York City. Atlanta United, we have never played well at New York City, it seems. We got a draw there on our run to the cup that we needed. But other than that, honestly, have we ever won at New York City, John?
Not in the regular season. You had the postseason win where playoff hero Eric Rometty scored on an impossible angle at the near post.
Oh, that's right. I thought that was a draw, but yeah, you're right. You won. So, yeah, it's very, very difficult to play there. So, honestly, I wasn't expecting anything great. But, man, that's bad. You can't have an 8-minute period, 6-minute period, whatever it was like that. That's tough. And I don't know. It's just seemed like close every now and then, right? Derek Williams seems like maybe he's got a goal. It's a little unlucky. I don't know. Maybe it was going in. Maybe it wasn't. It's tough. Tiara just wants to make sure it's going in. So who knows? So the first half, honestly, it wasn't terrible. We're never going to create a ton up there, especially without our two best attacking players on the field. So, but the defending just not great. Not great at all. And for me, if you're going to be in a back five, the wingbacks need to provide stuff going forward. Otherwise, you just play five center backs. And yeah. Brooks always does 90% of the time. And he did last night. Pedro, I don't remember doing one thing offensively. And then Brooks, obviously, on the defensive side was not good. So, yeah, just it's tough. It's tough to watch.
You mentioned how difficult it is in that building. And, you've got to be on the entire time. I mean, literally, because it is like playing inside a pinball machine, you've got to be on that much more. You've got to be ready for the conditions that are there. How atypical is that place compared to everything else and having to be on? Because I know for 90 minutes you've got to be on. It seems like in that 90 minutes, you've got to be on, if you know what I mean. How different is it? Ask the conductor on the train.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look at the third goal, right? It's a ball in from center back into midfielder, tries to turn, and he's 10 yards past the center circle, maybe?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, why not?
Roughly?
10.
And then it's a turnover, a one pass breakaway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good demonstration of you do. It's everything happens so fast, and I think that gets in the heads of opponents. Right? New York City obviously plays there more often because it seems as an opponent when you go there, there's no space, there's no time to play. Like, how do you even get width? How do you combine? And then New York City does it. They are connecting passes. Somehow you can't get close to the ball. They're ticky-tocking all over the field, and it's like, how are they able to do it, but the opponent isn't? So it is a mind game a little bit going to that small field. And just the field's always on a little bit of an angle. So it's just weird. It messes with the offside line a little bit. Just I don't know how to explain it other than it just feels like it's tilted a little bit.
So then when you are in a funk, like Atlanta United is in right now, and I'll use that word, funk, on the road. I mean, you're 500 at home. You're a little over 500 at home, but you can't get anything going on the road. We all know how difficult it is on the road in Major League Soccer, but how do you dip out of a funk? Is it dialing everything back to zero? How do you dial out of a funk to turn things around, I think, is the larger question.
Yeah, it's. I wish there was an easy answer for that, John. And I bet everybody at Atlanta United wishes there was, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not – I mean, we're going through a funk with Rhode Island FC as well. But it's not going well for us right now, so how do you get out of it? And we're trying to figure it out as well. And so, for Atlanta, it's the same thing. And the question becomes, do you do what you have to do and whatever you need to do in order to try and get a win? Or do you stay committed to your style of play and how you've been training and what you've preached probably for 6 months until this point, and stay true to that, hoping that that will turn around and get you a win? What I mean by that is, like, do you go to New York City and just pack it in? Literally stay on your half of the field. There's not a ton of space anyways. So do you just sit there, defend, try? And we did that a little bit for the first half, right? It was kind of just long ball to Tiara, see if you can get him behind.
Yeah, and get out of trouble and bomb it long to give yourself a chance to breathe.
Yeah. And so maybe that was the plan. I don't know. But that's easier to do on the road, especially against New York City. But when you have a home game and the expectation is you dominate the ball and after teams, that becomes a lot tougher, because if you just sit back in your own field, in your own half of the field, what does the crowd think, and how do the players feel, and all that type of stuff, it becomes very, very, very difficult.
Ronnie talked about belief. He says he's not worried about things at home because of the fans and the environment and everything. He's not worried about home, but he's concerned about belief and believing in themselves on the road. And he also mentioned that they're dying the longer that the game goes along. And at the end of the day, he's the one who feels ultimately responsible. He wants to find out who wants it. He's not a guy who surrenders. He wants it. He wants to find out who wants it as they're going forward, who's invested, those kinds of things. When you have your conversations with your mentees about belief, what are those conversations like with them when it comes to self-doubt, self-confidence, those kinds of things? When you have conversations with mentees about belief, what are those conversations traditionally like?
I say it's having belief doesn't guarantee success. Not having belief guarantees that you won't have as much success as possible.
Right.
Right, it's not a end-all, be-all that, hey, as long as I believe, everything's going to be great. But if I don't have belief, then I'm not going to get the outcomes more often than not that I want. And, that's how we base the conversation off, and of getting them to believe that believing is important. because a lot of kids think, oh, why do I – even my own son, he's got a broken finger right now, and I'm like, hey, dude, have confidence that it's going to heal faster. And it will. And he's like, oh, does confidence help that? How does belief help that? And I'm like, So sometimes they don't believe that belief is important. And, it's the same thing at the professional level, right? Your belief starts to wane when things aren't going well, right? Belief in the team, belief in the coach, belief in your ability within the current environment. And when that's the case, that's difficult, unless there's a bond between the team that says we just don't believe in the coach, and they can kind of rally together in spite of the coach. And I feel like that's a little bit like 2019 was.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case right now with Atlanta. But by the way, John, to your first point, what's Atlanta United's record at home this year?
Atlanta United's record at home, efforting, sir. I know that they're like 500. So
because I was just going to say, Ronnie says, I'm not worried about it. I'd be worried about at home. I would. Because if you win all your games at home, or you win at least 90% of them, your road form matters less.
4-3-3.
4-3-3. That's just average. I would say that's probably average to below average in MLS as far as home records.
Okay, so let's look at it. Let's look at home records. Philadelphia 5-1-3, Cincinnati 5-1-2, Messi and Friends 5-2-2, Nashville's 1-6, New York City's 1-7-10, Columbus 4-1-4, the New York Red Bulls have won 7 of 9, Orlando's 1-5 of 9, Charlotte's 1-6 of 8, Fire are 1-1-4 at home, New England 2-2-1, DC is 2-4-4, Atlanta has the best home record. They have the most home wins of anybody below the playoff bar currently, 4-3-3. Toronto's 1-7-2 at home, and Montreal's 0-4-3 at home.
Yeah, so about average-ish. You say probably about 7th or 8th best.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay. That's not good. So, you know, I get that our road form is bad. Mm-hmm. It's not even average, but typically in MLS, it's never going to be very good unless you're a top, top team. And right now we're not a top, top team. So, yeah, it's tough. I don't envy the position at all. It's so challenging as anyone part of the team to get out of a rut like this. And that's why it's so important to not get in the rut. And obviously that's easier said than done, but that's why it's so important to bounce back from losses, right? And not have it string 2 in a row, 3 in a row, because as the thing starts to crumble, that snowball gets bigger and bigger and it's more challenging to get out of it.
Yeah, it turns into a labor of Sisyphus. That's everybody's Google search today. TLDR, Sisyphus was the dude in mythology that was sentenced to a life in a holler, basically, as they say here in the South. He's in a valley. And he could leave the valley if he pushed the rock that he had with him up and over the top of the hillside to where the rock ends up going and rolling down another hillside. But it would always get to the top of the hill, and something would happen. Sisyphus would get tired or whatever, and he couldn't push the rock over that last little bit. The rock rolls back into the valley, and he has to start all over again. So it seems like it has turned into a labor of Sisyphus almost with Atlanta United, pushing that rock, and you're almost getting it to the top of the hillside where it rolls over, and then something happens and it rolls back down.
Yeah, agreed.
You mentioned belief. So then, okay, when you have a son with a broken finger, when you have a mentee that seems to be up against it, how difficult is it to turn negativity into belief from your mentoring perspective? Is it easier with the younger generations and those that are learning the game? I mean, when it comes to adults, is it easier from your personal experience as a professional athlete? When it comes to flipping that idea and flipping that script, is there one age group that's easier than another?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know, honestly. You know, I feel like a little bit older people kind of grasp it a little bit. You know, for the first time, a player that's going through something, it's difficult for them to understand how just being positive and trying to have a positive mindset about things is going to help. So in that regard, I think it's a little bit easier to be with someone who's gone through it, because sometimes they just need reminders. They need a little kick in the butt, a pat on the back to help them believe and to reframe some of the things that they're thinking about, and just reminders about things, versus the younger people that need to learn it and understand how this can be beneficial and how the negative thoughts are impacting them, because they don't know that yet or understand it. So I try and start there, like, hey, here's why it's normal. Here's why we all go through it, but here's how it's impacting you. And so if we want to get our best, we need to try and change some of these things.
When you're looking at film, is it easy for you? A dip in the shoulders, a dip in the head, is it easy for you to pick that up, or do you end up picking that up more in your one-on-one conversations first, and then you see the tape and go, oh, okay, now I see what's going on? Do you go tape first and then conversation to see it? or is it conversation and then tape?
Either one. Doesn't matter. You can see it either way. And honestly, John, when you say that, I noticed it last night and I was thinking about it, but then it changed at the very end of the game. Yeah. And what I'm talking about is substitutions. And what I noticed was guys coming off the field, guys coming onto the field. There was like no, what's the word I'm looking for? Just recognition of each other.
Yeah.
Right. Like going over and like, you know, giving them a high five or, you know, a pat on the back or whatever. And then the very last substitution, the new player that came on at the very end. Whoever went off, they had a proper exchange. I think it was Pedro, maybe. But the rest, I did not notice, like, anything. And it's a small little thing that you're like, eh, right? But for me, it was like, when times are like this and you see that, I don't know. It just was telling to me as far as like body language and support for each other and little things like that. So yeah, with being positive and seeing film versus conversations, it can go either way.
Does that drive you crazy when you see stuff like that? Well, it happened late last night.
Yeah, it does. It does. Cause yeah, it just drives me crazy because it's just so easy. It's just so easy. You can be pissed off coming off the field, no problem, right? Or if you're the guy coming onto the field, I don't know why you wouldn't initiate the, hey, good job, right?
Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't take much. It's a small little thing, and, you know, usually it's just so common. But if you go back and watch it, I can't remember if it was every time, but I noticed it at least two times. And that's just strange.
When stuff like that goes down, obviously I know that there's a level of frustration that's attached. I know that there's context attached, but I know at the same time you want to be a good teammate. And I know that's what you're looking at. You're looking at being a good teammate. You're looking at being encouraging in a difficult situation. How difficult is it to be a good teammate in a difficult situation?
It's obviously more challenging. Shoot, when everything's going great and guys are winning and everything and scoring goals, like, yeah, it's of course it's easy to be a good teammate. Mm-hmm. But this is when actual personalities shine through and really tests of character are when things aren't going well, right? Mm-hmm. Then the true character comes out more often than not. And going on the field because you're upset that you didn't start, or coming off the field upset because you didn't get to continue to play. It's not the other player's fault.
Yeah.
Right. You can be mad at the coach, but it's not the other player's fault. So there's just no need for something like that. And I don't want to make a big deal out of it. It's just something I noticed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is more challenging. And that's part of reason why when you get in a funk like this, things tend to go downhill because the locker room starts to fray a little bit. Hey, it's not my fault. Hey, it's your fault. Hey, this guy needs to be better. This guy's not doing everything. And the little things become more noticeable, like what I'm talking about right now, or little things at training. Somebody showing up 2 minutes late, you know, somebody goofing off in a passing drill or whatever. That if you're winning games, it doesn't matter. But if you're not winning games, all of a sudden it matters. And guys need to be aware of that.
How would you take the tape of last night's match and use it as a lesson plan for your mentees?
Yeah, how I would use it is,
and like I said, it can be anything from strategy to behavior to being in an unfamiliar environment, being in a strange place, any of those topics. How would you take what you saw last night and use it as a part of your lesson plan?
Well, I would for sure talk about being a good teammate and the responsibility coming on or off the field. I would talk about that. But then as far as play on the field, we talk about letting go of mistakes, overcoming things. A lot of what we talk about is emotions and the need to regulate yourself. And why that's so evident is because it's known that the first 5 minutes after scoring a goal or giving up a goal, you are very susceptible to give up another one and or to give up one after you've scored. Why is that? Because our emotions are out of whack. Okay. And our focus goes down. And so I would show that I think it's 6 minutes, right? Is it 6 minutes? We give up three goals, 7 minutes.
Four, I think.
Oh God.
Yeah. I think it was four. It was in the 55th with Bakrar and the 57th with Wolf, where Derek went way out to try to make a play. And Lennon had to dial it back and come back quickly to be the right back in a back line of four. And then Wolf scored in the 59th when Derek went down in retreat. And yeah. Got it through Riley. So three and four.
Three goals in 4 minutes. Yeah, that's a prime example of, hey, mistakes cannot compound, right? 2-0, the game's not over. 3-0, the game's over. 4-0, you're getting embarrassed. Yeah. So things can go very quickly down the tube. And so when we concede, right, we have to be focused and we have to be sharp and aware and, get everything tidied up and mentally, if not anything else, mentally staying sharp and understanding the moment and the situation and what could happen here.
Yep. One more thing and then I'll let you go because I know that you want to be there on time for youth baseball. How do you keep referees from driving you crazy? Because I have yet to play the early VAR call that didn't happen, that was called, and then I don't know what they were looking at, but I'd love to hear the audio conversation. How do you keep, when you're in a funk, how difficult is it to take an early moment against you and keep it from turning into that black cloud, which Atlanta United did for most of the first half? How difficult is it when you're in a funk to get that black cloud away from you when something goes against you like it did early for Atlanta United?
Yeah, the expectation is that you're not going to get any help. When you're in a funk like this, you're not going to get the bounce. Okay? It's going to hit the post and go out. It's going to hit the crossbar instead of go under the crossbar. The penalty kick that's close is not going to go your way on either side of the field. It's the way it goes. We've had two penalties for Rhode Island in the last two games that have not been called. There's no VAR. So it just is what it is, right? And you have to understand when things are not going this well, you are not going to get the calls. And you need to know that going into the game. And so you don't expect it. You don't expect to get a call. And so you just need to deal with it and figure it out and keep going. Because the help is not going to be there until you help each other get out of it. And that is always, always, always the way it's been and will continue to be for some reason. Can't explain it, but that's always how it is.
So how long are you at youth baseball today?
Just one game today. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep, two yesterday, one today, and then the weekend is always up in the air.
So what does Rhode Island have this weekend?
We have a home game against North Carolina on Saturday night. It's an important one. We lost to Louisville midweek. Speaking of home performances, we have not won yet at our brand new facility. That needs to change this weekend. We're sitting right at the playoff line in eighth place. And so, yeah, we need to get going. Big one on Saturday.
And the jersey proves it because he's busting out the jersey this morning.
This isn't Rhode Island FC, but this is a amateur club in Rhode Island that makes just cool jerseys. And
they
hooked me up, and they're good people.
As they should. A man needs to get hooked up, and he needs to wear them as much as humanly possible. thank you for your candor this morning. I tried to apply as much of it to mentoring as possible when it came to topics and difficulties in dealing with things that you have to deal with mentees and a rough night, but I wanted to kind of make as many crossovers as I could. Enjoy your youth baseball. Wear plenty of sunscreen. I see you're wearing a hat, which is always good. And be safe, my friend. We'll catch up with you next time. Thanks again, and don't get hit by the truck that's passing by.
Yeah, too many trucks. Have a great weekend.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Always great to catch up with Michael and Greg and find out what the latest is at Beyond Goals Mentoring, beyondgoalsmentoring.com, and at BG Mentoring on the 280 character app on X. Catch up with them on the World Wide Web as well. This is the best of SDH AM. John Nelson here with you. Soccer Down Here AM, one of the early moments that you get on the SDH Network, 9:05 Eastern Time, every single Monday through Friday, where we get to break down what's going on across the world of soccer. Not just in the southeastern United States, but all over the U.S. We look at the international game as well. We find out about tournaments and what's on folks' minds. And one of our normal guests is Nico Moreno. Nico works at Pulso Sports and is based in Seattle. He also contributes to local television there when it comes to activities involving Seattle Sounders. And he also works at Sounder at Heart, one of the big tent poles when it comes to information for the Seattle Sounders. So traditionally on Thursdays, we get to catch up with Nico, find out what's on his mind when it comes to the weekend in Major League Soccer, the week that was, the weekend that is going to be. And then with the added intrigue and context of what has been going on in Seattle attached to the Club World Cup, we get updates there, get updates on Seattle, and anything else on Nico's mind as we go into the weekend. Here's our catch-up with Nico Moreno. Hot change. We're going from Peru to Seattle. And we're going to break everything down. MLS, we're going to look at Club World Cup, we're going to talk things with our buddy Nico Moreno. Wait, no lid. Where's the lid? No hat.
No hat today, man. I'm on the go. I'm on the professional look. I can't have no hat on after this because I got a very busy day. It's been a busy week, to be honest. You know, yesterday we did Low TV here for Fox Seattle, radio. It's been all over this entire week, all about the Sounders, all about Club World Cup. So yeah, man, today you get Nico without a lit.
You get styling and profiling professional Nico is what we got. All right, so I'll bite. This Club World Cup thing, what's the vibe like with the Club World Cup there in Seattle, with Seattle getting two home matches in the group stage?
Man, look, I'm not going to lie to you. It's been tainted a little bit by everything that is going on with the players' protest for fair compensation. There is honestly a very underrated feeling about what's going to happen over the weekend because of the country's political situation and some of the protest anti-ICE that are currently happening right now in downtown Seattle. So I'm starting to maybe believe that, I mean, there might be some things going on in the weekend. So honestly, I wish it was better. I was excited for the event. I am excited for the actual soccer that's going to be happening at Lumen Field. But there is maybe a sense that is not as hyped as it should be, and is because of a variety of things and factors that I just mentioned. So to be honest, it has lost a little bit of magic, and the vibes, the atmosphere is not as vibrant as I kind of was hoping that it was. Maybe on Sunday it'll be completely different and it'll be 50,000 at Lumen Field, but I don't expect it.
So is Botafogo going to actually pay some bills? Are they going to actually pay what they owe to folks, allegedly, walking in the door?
Man, I don't really know. I mean, I just heard that, you know, Igor De Jesus and Jair, they're underway to Nottingham Forest. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there. Do they have money? Do they don't? I mean, it's John's supposed to be the man with the check. So I don't know how anybody's not getting paid. So it's an interesting situation there for Botafogo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, lawsuits and FIFA judgments and you know, paying Atlanta United on Thiago Almada twice over for 21 mil. And, yeah, so it's we talked about the possibility of ownership change at Crystal Palace with Woody Johnson picking up shares at undervalued numbers.
Yep.
And like that. So that could turn into a street fight, and it also could end up at the court of arbitration for sport. So
I just don't get it. I don't get how, you know, how things were not paid, how much the things that you owe, you're still moving players. It seems like it's, you know, day as usual. So it's very weird. It's very weird.
So it's like you sit there, you make a transaction, but it's, you know, when you make a transaction, you buy somebody, you got to kind of have the money to do it. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, we're fine. Yeah, $8 million for Matt Turner. Yeah, 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 we're fine. $21 million for Thiago. Yeah, 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 we're fine. We're good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
I'll put it on my tab.
Yes, exactly. Put it on the under tab. It's like, yeah, 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 we're good. We're good for it. Okay, so where is it? And you end up with judgments. Legitimately in this, now, when it comes to the group stage in the Club World Cup, do you think distractions are going to be too much? Are they going to be able to take care of business? What does your gut tell you about how things are going to shape up?
I think the players, once they hit the field, and let me be very clear, if they hit the field, they're going to be up for it, and they're going to be excited, and they're going to be motivated to play against a top South American team. But look, yesterday we talked to Christian Roldan, and that is the face and the demeanor of someone that is getting pushed to the edge. You know that I'm not a killer, but don't push me. That's the way that Christian Roldan yesterday was talking about the negotiations and MLS. He basically said that MLS has been negotiated in bad faith. So right now, what I see is, and I've said this before, is a game of chicken. And if there is no resolution with the players' compensation, I don't know what's going to happen. Branch Metzer told me that he has no fear that the players are not going to sit out and they're not going to protest in that fashion. I've heard from multiple sources that that's not out of the question. That's not off the table. So the vibes yesterday at training were once again two different dynamics. It feels like FIFA's in town because you got new pennies with the Club World Cup symbol on it. You got advertising, like signage all around, you know, the training facility, which is kind of interesting. The training was good. Teams seem to be vibing. But once they come off and they start talking to certain situations, you could feel like there's something that's looming inside of them that they can't get rid of. And that distraction has, in my opinion, resulted in two poor performances. One against Vancouver that was embarrassing, to be quite frank. So can they get over that? I would hope that if things get done and there's a resolution between the PA and the league, that it all goes away. But I said this a couple of times this week. It is a human emotion, to feel like if you're being jaded or if I got too many things on my mind, that I'm not going to be 100%, that I'm going to be a second too late on a decision, that I'm going to be a second too late on marking a space, that I'm not going to be as bought in as it possibly could be, that that influences the way you run, the way you cover, everything that has to do with an athlete. So I really hope they can shake it off because, in my opinion, there's definitely this negative aura that I hope it goes away by Sunday.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on that as we go forward. Obviously, that'll be an underlying storyline as we go into Club World Cup and continue to work it forward. Right now, you get to focus on Club World Cup. There are a bunch of other folks that are going to be focusing on the second half of the season when it comes to Major League Soccer out west. It's going to be a full grid. When it comes to the second half of the season, outside of those folks that are going to be in Club World Cup, LAFC, Portland, you know, et cetera, what are some of the things that you're keeping an eye on in the Western Conference as we are in the second half of the season and sprinting toward the playoffs? Because it'll be here before we know it because of Club World Cup and Leagues Cup. Those are, you know, all of that eye candy in the department store window at Nordstrom's will kind of distract folks. But at the same time, it's like, damn, we're getting really close to all this stuff. So outside of what's in the Nordstrom's window, what else are you looking at in the Western Conference in the second half of the season?
I'm focused to see if the Timbers are contenders or pretenders. I mean, it feels like they have all the talent, even now with reports that Cabecita Rodriguez might be out for the season. That team has a lot of firepower up top. They have seemed to find a rhythm. DaCosta seems to be a guy that has adapted quickly to the league. So how far can they get? I think they're a team to watch because, again, the talent level and, you know, can Neville put it all together finally and be consistent in all fronts? I'm also looking at St. Louis just to figure out who they are. And are they a mid-table? Are they going to stay in the basement of the Western Conference? You know, the coaching changes always help out in the first game, but then after that you turn into reality. So how far can they go? San Jose is a team that, you know, I've been watching and excited about because of the Bruce Arena component, some of the acquisitions that they got. So where do they really fall? Can Christian Espinosa finally have a run in the playoffs? So that's another team that I'm watching. And then you got to talk about the Sounders. The Sounders are a team that has shown sporadic moments where they're at their best. The Nashville game, you know, some of the gritty wins against San Diego. I mean, this is a squad that there seems to be a talent level there that can hit the potential, but it feels like everything has to go their way for it to actually play out that way. And we're trying to figure out how far can the Seattle Sounders really get with the current squad. I'm looking to see if there's any acquisitions. I was very focused on the U22 spot, but I just made a call just yesterday to one of the guys that I knew that they were targeting, and there's nothing on the table. There's no negotiation. There's no talks. I'll probably say the name at some point whenever I figure out whether Seattle's no longer interested. But man, I'm wondering what the fan base would say if the transfer window comes and goes and nothing happens. So that's a big one for the Western Conference is do the Seattle Sounders do the maybe unexpected and just ride with what they have and, I don't know, trust the process? Or if they go and get somebody to come in and help out at the striker position where they definitely need the help. So those are the big headlines that I'm looking at.
What is the injury situation? I know that Jordan Morris had a setback recently. What is the state of health right now when it comes to Seattle in those positions that you're looking at that might be pursued come the summer window?
Look, Yemer Gomez-Andrade was not in practice yesterday, and that gives me a feeling that there's something there. He is such a key component for this team. He had a hamstring injury. You know, did he have a setback? Did he not? Because last week he was doing work on the ball. He was doing some resistance stuff. I mean, it seemed like he was trending positively, and not seeing him this week was interesting. So Brian said there's nothing new, but we'll see. He said it kind of in a coyish way, so we'll figure that out. Stu Hawkins, apparently, 6 to 8 weeks for the youngster. A quad injury that Brian called the deucey. 6 to 8 weeks is a long time, and that's yet another injury. Kim Kihi was at practice as a partial participant. I would expect him to be available at least off the bench going into the Club World Cup. That's the way he seems to be trending too. But definitely doesn't look great for the Sounders at the center back position. And moving into a Club World Cup, that's going to be a tough task with the players that you have available as well. And Jordan Morris, as much as he's been part of training and he's trying to get back in, I do not expect him to play at all in the Club World Cup. Maybe against PSG, but do you really risk him at that point? I don't know, but I don't expect him to be part of the Club World Cup at all. If anything, maybe in the last game, but I just don't think it's very feasible.
LAFC has made a loan move. They did the tease on social media that they always do where they're shipping the hat to somebody and you always wonder who it's going to be that's going to sit there initially with the hat and it's going to be the tucked chin and you wonder what it's going to be and who lifts their head. And they go to Club America and they get Jevairo de Rossum and the Dutch attacker, nasty left foot. And so it is a loan deal for De Rossum to add to their stacks in the attack. They need it, but they make the loan move. And so, you know,
I feel very pacey, yeah. Extremely pacey. He's a guy that's good on 1v1 situations. The funny thing about this one, and I called my dad when I heard the news, because I actually watched the LAFC Club America game, and we were talking about Javira, and my dad's like, oh, where is he from? We didn't really know. America is the team that gets a lot of South Americans. We thought that maybe he was from South America, and I was like, oh, no, he's Dutch, but man, he's good. He's a guy that's been all over, just being a problem on that side. And I called my dad. I was like, man, like Javira was so good that LAFC went and got him. So it is an interesting move. It is at a position of need for them. I've said this time and time again. This LAFC team doesn't have those talented just guys that will take you off balance like they've had in the past. Another guy at the other end of Denny Bouanga that's going to demand just the defense to shift to that side. I think Javara could provide that, man. I have very limited time watching him, but when he does get on the field, man, that dude, he can work.
Yeah, that dude, like Marcellus Wiley, D-A-T-D-U-D-E, he can be that dude given the chance. This weekend, obviously, once again, it's a mixed schedule with the Club World Cup. Let me ask you this, and we'll put this in the envelope. We'll seal the envelope. We'll put it away. Who do you think actually wins the Club World Cup? Who gives an ish enough to win the Club World Cup by the time we're done?
Wow. Ooh, I was not expecting that one.
Is it somebody like PSG where you sit there and it's just like you really get to see how bad a man Luis Enrique really is, depending on the competition, it's not going to matter. I mean, honestly, that sounds very chalkish to me, but that's kind of where I'm going. By the time we're done, I'm thinking that Luis Enrique proves once and for all that he is the biggest dog in the yard.
It'd be kind of cool for him to get another one in the same year. PSG certainly the favorites. I actually would think that a team like Inter Milan that got so close, they were kind of right there for the champions. They're going to have a additional motivation to give their fans something to kind of, you know, put their hat on. And they got a very talented squad. You saw it against PSG, a team that maybe was out of sorts in that game and they could not make anything happen regardless of what they did. But they're interesting. Atletico de Madrid, too. I mean, you know, you look at that squad and you look at Koke and DePaul and Griezmann and Llorente. I mean, they have a very experienced squad, a team that could get farther out there. So I like both of those teams, either Inter Milan or Atletico. I'd have to really go back and look at how the breakdown's going to happen. But I like both of those teams.
Yeah. All right. So let's go into cliffhanger and break everything down. And I am going to do a cliffhanger with Club World Cup, too, before we get out of here, because, you know, that's kind of where you are this weekend. You mentioned Portland and San Jose as two of the teams that you're keeping an eye on in the second half of the season. Friday Night Football is Portland hosting San Jose. Portland is a -116, which I find intriguing. Draws a +292. San Jose on the road a +275. Knowing you, I would probably drift toward the total and check that out first.
I do want to check that out, but I actually I'm encouraged to go for San Jose. Timbers is a team that is going to play you openly. Look, they have been doing very well at being more conservative on when they pressure, when they add numbers forward. But Bruce Arena is a guy that when you have a Achilles heel, he's going to expose it. He's going to take away a player that you can be sure of any time. So can he contain and take the Costa completely away from the game? I think he can. So I like San Jose in this one, but I'm curious about the total compos of the goals because I feel like it's going to be one that has a lot of goals.
Okay, 3.5 is a +101. That's where it turns. 4 is a +170. 4.5 a +234.
The 3.5 would be a nice little addition there. I wouldn't want to go beyond that simply because I want to play it safe. Would I be shocked if this is the 3-2 banger? No, I would not be shocked. But I feel like for sure you're playing safe money with that 3.5.
All right. So on Saturday, I'm going to pass LAG going to all caps because it's LAG. Crew hosting Whitecaps. Columbus hosting Vancouver. I know folks are racing home from international windows and things like that, so we don't know who's going to be returning in time, all things being equal. Crew on at home, a -123. The draw and Vancouver both, a +290.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. Columbus is a team that has been so hot and cold for me. When I've watched them play, it seems like they have a real hard time when offensively they can't put the ball in the back of the net, specifically in the first half. Vancouver, for me, regardless of who's back, they're going to put their best squad out there. And after what they did to the Sounders with their B team, I'm not going to doubt that they can do that. Sorensen really beat Brian when it comes to the chess match between two coaches by playing three in the back. Brian was not expecting that. The way that Sorensen put that game together just tells me that this guy's got an edge on a lot of people. And if you're not seeing it yet, you better go ahead and check it out. So I know that Wilfred Nancy is Wilfred Nancy, but if he goes in there thinking it's going to be a walk in the park, Vancouver's going to give you some issues, man. But I'm going to go ahead and go with the draw.
Draw to +290. All right. So yep. Then on Saturday night, 8:40 Eastern time, 5:40 for you while you're focusing on other things. Minnesota United hosting San Diego. We don't know if Dane St. Clair, Robin Lud, Boxall, if they're going to be back in time, Oluwaseyi, et cetera. Minnesota United a +104, draws a +250. San Diego FC on the road is a +242. What say you?
Yeah, this is one I had a hard time with simply because Minnesota's defensive shape and the way they kind of go about their business. I think can tame what San Diego does well. But at the same time, I'm intrigued by the number. So what's the compass on the goals real quick?
All right. So let's take a peek and find out what the numbers are. Because if Dane St. Clair doesn't make it back, you're dealing with a second string keeper going up.
Exactly.
Over under at the moment, 2.5, a minus 124. 3 is where it flips to a plus 138. 3.5 is a plus 201. So if you're thinking, two, you could get that at a plus 201, and it goes, then it goes at 4.5. It's a plus 475. But if you're
thinking, yeah, give me the draw and give me the 3.5. That sounds like a nice little setup there. I'm gonna write that one down. I like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So there you go. You pop that one at a plus 201 on the total at a plus 3.5. Now, also on the board, since it's the last MLS game that I want to talk to you about, it's tonight. Thursday night football, mind you, in the Bronx at the 106x68, according to Peter Vermes, at Yankee Stadium, Atlanta United. Don't know who's racing back. Latte Lott probably will, considering all he had to do is fly from Toronto. So Atlanta United at NYC at the 106x68. None of the folks, according to Glenn Crooks for NYC, are going to start. They may not even be around. So it means that Bakrar is going to be up top. It means that Tomas Romero is going to be between the sticks instead of Matt Freeze. 12 players for Atlanta United racing back from various parts of the planet, from Egypt and Eastern Europe, making their way back. This one could have street fight written all over it. Right now, NYC's a minus 111. It's changing and it's dipping toward Atlanta United. This one was in the neighborhood of minus 120, minus 128 yesterday. Down to minus 111 today. Draws a plus 265. Atlanta United, once again, coming back a little bit. They're at a plus 279 in the composite at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, man. Look, this was one that I was thinking, this, which team has more depth, which team can adapt to things a little bit better. And although, just like what you're talking about, the odds shifting, I've shifted my mind from thinking that New York was going to be able to get the win to Atlanta maybe surprising us in this one. I really do think that Atlanta, although maybe not obvious in the results and some of the moments and mistakes that they currently have, I feel like at least offensively, the principles and the concepts are starting to feel like a team going somewhere. I'm going to go with Atlanta. I'm going to focus on the fact that I think Latla will be back. I think that the midfield is starting to give what Ronnie Dyla is looking for this season. The defense is always so – makes me just nervous to trust Atlanta. But I'm going to go with them. I think that New York City will be limited. They've been limited offensively regardless. Yeah. I think Atlanta gets the score early. They handle the game. They manage it well. And they put New York – City against the ropes.
There you go. Okay, so Club World Cup, we actually have juice boxes there, believe it or not.
Really?
Botafogo, a minus 119. Draw is a plus 266. Seattle, at home, mind you, is a plus 308. As they're the away team, technically. I don't know if this means they have to go change dressing rooms or whatever, that they have to go into the away dressing room. Botafogo listed as the home team. They're at a minus 119. Seattle's a plus 308 at home as the road team.
Yeah, man. Look, I don't dare to dream that the Sounders are going to get a win. We've just talked about everything starting the show about the feel, the distractions, the injuries. Botafogo might not be the Botafogo of 2024. Not have the elite talents that maybe they had with Junior Santos and Thiago Almada, but this team is good. What I will say is that when I'm hearing that, you know, you got Igor De Jesus, Cubano, and Jerry Cunha possibly going somewhere, mm-hmm. when you have one foot out the door, what the commitment level is going to be there for the for those players, I don't know. And Igor De Jesus is such an important player for Botafogo. So I'm gonna go with the draw for this one. And he's going to be the one point that, that Seattle can rescue out of the group stage. And I'll say that because Botafogo has been in L.A. They have yet to arrive. I think that the field's going to be tricky here with the new spongy grass. I feel like the traveling is going to put some wear and tear in some of these players that are not used to this sort of trip. We've heard that 1,000 times from South American teams. So I'm going to go with the draw. I'm going to give Seattle the benefit of the doubt that they get out there, they perform, they bring the intensity. That's what Christian Roldan said the team needed, intensity and effort. When you don't have the talent level, is what he said, or you're outmatched at a talent level, you close the gap by intensity and effort. I think Seattle does it. They'll make Botafogo chase them. They'll try to hold possession. If Seattle has anything over Botafogo, is the conditioning, the physicality. I think Seattle brings it, and they'll get a draw.
Yeah, you
mentioned. I'm gonna get heat for that. I'm gonna be called a homer, but that's fine.
I mean, you mentioned the triple signing. Forrest reached a verbal agreement a little over a week ago to sign Igor Jesus, Cuiabano, and Jair Cunha from Nottingham Forest. No. I'm trying to see if there was a price tag attached. Now I'm to the point to where I'm like, you know, are we getting price tags? Are we sitting there and it's like, are folks sitting there? Various reports put the combined fee for all three players in the region of 34 to 40 million euro or 29 to 33 million pounds. 5-year contract said to be on the table for Jesus. Oglobo, Jesus has moved to Forest, already been negotiated. Jair and Cuiabano agreements in place to link up with Nuno Espirito Santo's side. Negotiations are yet to be finalized, according to Nottinghamshire Live as of like earlier today. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, anytime you got players already thinking about what's next, and then do you put them in bubble wrap? I mean, you're hoping that none of those players get hurt if you have already something signed in. So, that I feel like gives Seattle a better chance. So I'm going to go ahead and lock that thing down today, probably, just to make sure that doesn't move at all. But yeah, I do feel like the draw is possible. Again, if Seattle was at their best, both on the health level, on the vibes level, on their current form level, I probably would risk to get them a win. But I think the draw is a safer bet.
All right. So what is going on when it comes to you and the perfectly coiffed lettuce without the hat and getting everything ready for the Club World Cup and everything up there in Seattle? What do folks need to be paying attention to with you?
Yeah, we'll start tomorrow with what we learned this week with Jeremiah O'Shan. We're going to see what happens, see if there's any news on the negotiations with the league and what are the consequences. I think that's what we're going to focus on. On the game, I'm actually going to be doing the post-game, I believe. Yep, the post-game show with Fox 13 Seattle. So we're going to do kind of like that NFL Network type of situation there with, you know, the stadium in the back. So go ahead and check that out. Support your guy right here. And then on Monday, of course, Lobbing Sportsers will break down the entire weekend, see what's going on, see what happened, what were the news, what were the big headlines with Ari Langelong, Lobbing Sportsers kickoff.
As always, my friend, great to see you. Great for the intel and the intelligence and breaking everything down. Club World Cup. We'll get into Gold Cup, obviously, next week.
That's going to be interesting, too.
So we got Club World Cup, we got Gold Cup, and we got MLS trying to squeeze the schedule in. So, yeah, we ain't busy for nothing. As always, my friend, love you very much. We'll catch up with you next week.
You're the man, John.
And as always, once again, it's great to catch up with Nico and all of our friends that we get on a weekly basis on SDHAM. Once again, SDHAM, 9:05 Eastern Time. You can follow along on SDH Twitch, X, and on the SDH Network YouTube channel. And so you can always search for Soccer Down Here. You can search for SDH Network, and you can follow along. You can watch us live. You can catch us on replays and on tape, and however you get to access your information. It's also rolled over. Some of the key segments are rolled over to audio and podcatcher platforms, so there's a bunch of different ways that you can catch us. And don't forget that you can like, friend, and be a part of the conversation on all of our social media channels and at soccerdownhere.net. Don't forget, once again, like us, friend us,
Facebook, Instagram, at soccerdownhere.net, whatever social media is accessible to you on a daily basis. Don't forget to like us and friend us so we can have the conversation with you as well. Once again, that's the best of SDHAM on the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you once again. Play safe, everybody. We'll see you Monday, 9:05 Eastern Time, where it's Club World Cup, it's Gold Cup, and it's a lot of competitions going on at once here. As the summer of soccer draws closer, we're still in the spring of soccer, but the summer of soccer coming up literally in a week or so. Play it safe, everybody. Mucho Platio. We'll catch up with you next time.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.